Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 14, we'll begin reading at verse 6 and then read through the end of this chapter. In Joshua 14, beginning at verse 6, what we hear now is God's word. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea, concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God." And Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now, give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there, with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said." Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Here we in the reading of God's holy word. Well, we continue our study of the book of Joshua and the division of the land. And tonight we come to the story about Caleb and the inheritance that had been promised to him. Now, it's always the goal when preaching a sermon that it touch most members of the congregation. Once in a while, we have a sermon particularly directed at the youth of the congregation. And then perhaps use a text like, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth," and apply it directly to those who are younger in our midst. Well, tonight we have, I guess, what might be the opposite of that. Not a youth sermon, but a sermon for those who are more mature in our midst. I don't want to call them older, but more mature in our midst. And you can decide which of you that is. It's the story of Caleb. An 85-year-old man. A man well advanced in years, yet a man still alive and a man still living and active among God's people. So tonight we're going to look at this story of Caleb, this older man, this more mature member of the people of God, as an encouragement to those of you who are at that stage of life, but as an encouragement to all of us. What should we expect as we continue to walk with the Lord? What should we expect if the Lord should preserve our life and give us many years? What does the future look like for those who belong to the people of God? Not only now, but in our later years, in our more mature years. The text begins by Caleb coming to Joshua saying, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea." He's remembering something from the past. And that reminds us of a good principle whenever we read the Scriptures. When you read, "Remember the past," it's good for us to go back and look at that past. What was being talked about? What took place in Kadesh Barnea? Well, we have the general story that it was the story of the spies And you recall that, children, the story of the 12 spies given to us in Numbers chapter 13. How Moses would send out those 12 spies to spy out the land of Canaan. This is before they had gone in. They were getting ready to go in. They were coming through the wilderness, and they were sent out 12 spies to check out the land. And these 12 spies come back with two different reports. Both reports agree it is a wonderful land. The land that God has promised us, the land that He is taking us to, is a wonderful land. From Numbers 13, let's begin at verse 27. And they told him, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan." They brought back this report. Yes, it's a good land, but we can't take it. There are strong, powerful people there. It's going to be too hard for us to do. And 10 spies came back with that report. The majority said, "Don't do it. We can't go." And the hearts of the people melted. But there were two spies. Two who came back with a different report. From Numbers 13, verse 30. But Caleb, this is the same Caleb, children. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Caleb said, "Let's go. It's time. We can take the land. God will be with us. He's promised it to us." Yet the people believed the majority report. The people believed the word of the 10 spies. And as a result, what happened? As a result, the people were told they would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. It was the event at Kadesh Barnea that occasioned the wilderness wandering. The people were within striking distance of the land, but they took their eyes off God. They looked at what they could accomplish themselves. And as a result, for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness till that generation died out, except for those spies, Caleb. Oh, and who was the other one? Joshua. That's why he comes. That's why Caleb comes and says, "You know, Joshua, you were there. Joshua, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me." And that sets things in context. It is now some 40 plus years later. And now Caleb comes back. Comes back to Joshua. "You know what God said. You know what Moses said. Now I want to take the land, the inheritance that was promised to me." He comes with this bold request. "I know I'm old," he says. Verse 10. He says, "And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as He said, these 45 years since the time the Lord first spoke His word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old." He acknowledges, "I know it's been a long time. I know I'm not the 40-year-old man I was back then. But I am still coming. And I am claiming the promise of God to give me my inheritance." Verse 11, "I am still as strong today as I was in the day the Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming." In spite of his age, in spite of being 85 years old, he says, "I'm ready to continue the work of the Lord. I'm ready to continue to do what God has called us to do, to go up into the land and to take the country." Caleb obviously never heard about retirement. We think of retirement as a time of inactivity. Maybe we look forward to retirement as a time to take a break from certain things. And it is true, we work hard all our lives at our jobs, and there's a time where we stop doing those jobs. But in the church, in matters of serving the Lord, there is no retirement. There never comes a time where we sit back and say, now I've done enough. Now there's no more work for me to do. Caleb wouldn't hear of that. Now, maybe in our context, our labor changes. Maybe we're not as strong to go out and do the things we could when we were younger, but we continue to work in the church, whether that be now with our hands and feet or with our hearts and our heads in prayer for the people of God. For those of you who are mature members among us, we thank God for you. You know, as I go to various United Reformed churches, there's always, it seems, a strong number of young families, and that's a wonderful thing. It's wonderful to have young families and young children. It brings life and vitality to the church. But we also have those who have walked with the Lord for years and years, and how we thank God for them. Mature members, we need you. Those of us who are younger, perhaps we have the vitality, perhaps we have the vim and the vigor, but oh, we lack the wisdom that you have. To temper our enthusiasm, to direct it properly. You can help us, you can encourage us, you can direct us simply by your godly example and by your prayers on our behalf. One of the greatest blessings I had when I entered the ministry is that I was taking a church, and in that church, I was a brand new minister. In that church was a retired minister who had served the Lord for years and years, and he was willing to come alongside me to temper my enthusiasm, to direct my energies, to help me to focus on what the proper work of the ministry was, and what a blessing that was. For those of you who are mature members in our congregation, we appreciate you, and we are thankful for your encouragement to us. We have so much to learn from those of you who have walked with the Lord for many years. You simply by your presence here remind us of God's faithfulness. God is not only a God to those who are young. God is not only a God of children. But God is a God who walks with us year after year after year, through good times and through difficult times. Some of you have seen hard times in your life. Caleb went through the wilderness wandering, 40 years in the wilderness, and yet did not lose heart. He continued to come with this bold request, I will now take the inheritance God has promised to me. Well, for those of you who are more mature in our congregation, we thank you and we praise God for you, for your ministry in our midst, to pray for us, to encourage us, to give us that wonderful example of God's faithfulness, that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We confess that. But in your lives, we see that as you have walked with the Lord year after year after year. Caleb comes with this bold request in spite of his age, in spite of the enemy he is facing. They are going to face the Anakim. Who are the Anakim children? They were giants. Literal giants in the land. When the report came back in the book of Numbers, the report came back in Numbers chapter 13, and they said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. And they brought to the people of Israel a bad report, these 10 spies, that they spied out the land, saying, the land, though which we saw and we have gone to spy out, the land is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people we saw are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who become the Nephilim, the giants. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers. And so we seemed to them as well. In spite of the enormity of the task before them, in spite of these giants that Caleb would have to go up against, he comes with this bold request. In spite of even the geography was against him. Again, maybe our geography of Israel isn't so good. He's going to take Hebron. This is the hill country. It would literally be an uphill battle. To battle uphill against these giants who had the high ground, the better position, the stronger position. And yet Caleb says, I will go. I am just as ready today as I was 45 years ago. How can Caleb come with this bold request? It's because Caleb comes, not in his own strength, but Caleb comes as one with a mature faith in God. We read in verse 12. So now give me this hill country, of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day how the Anakim were there and their great fortified cities. Then it says, it may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. That is not the most wonderful translation of this verse, because it seems to question whether or not God will be with him. A better translation, or the sense that we're getting at, is not that maybe God will go with us, but that I have confidence to do this because the Lord will go with us. There's no question in Caleb's mind that we say, if or since God is going to be with me, then I will go up. His confidence was not placed in himself, even 85 years old, strong as I was 45 years ago. But when God goes with me, I will drive them out, just as the Lord said. He knew where his strength came from. He knew his help was in the name of the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. And that is where our help lies. How can we who are getting older, who are more mature, begin to feeling the frailties of life? How can we go forward and continue? Because God goes with us. God encourages us. God strengthens us. Even against the powers and the giants that we face, God continues by His Spirit to bless His people. When we get older, I think I used to think that older folks in the congregation probably didn't need God as much, because they always seem so holy. Their lives just seem so saintly. But I've seen and I've been told that as we get older, the sense of our sin becomes all the more clear, and we need God even more to overcome the enemies that face us, the enemies of the devil, and even our own selves, our own sinfulness that can pull us down. And yet those who are mature in faith know where their help lies. It is in the name of the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. And you remind us of that. You remind us that God continues to be faithful in spite of our own sinfulness. God, through the power of His Spirit, continues to lead us, whether we are young, whether we are old. The same God, the God of Moses, who led him, the God of Joshua, who led him, the God of Caleb, who led him, is our God today. And we can have hope, we can have confidence, we can have assurance for the future, whether young or whether old. Because when God goes with us, we shall drive out the adversaries, just as the Lord said. That must be our prayer. That as we grow in chronological age, we grow in maturity of our faith as well. Our walk with the Lord is a lifelong walk. Our growth in the faith is a lifelong growth. We don't come to the part where we say, I'm done growing. But we continue year after year after year. And we see that in the life of Caleb. This mature faith didn't happen all at once. It's not as if we hear nothing about Caleb and then all of a sudden, when he's 85, he comes on the scene and says, now give me the inheritance. No, in a certain sense, Caleb began his conquest 45 years earlier when he came back with that report. In spite of what the 10 other spies said, in spite of what he saw with his own eyes, he saw the Anakim too. But he made a confession of faith. He made a confession that God was able to overcome the enemy. In Numbers chapter 14, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among them, who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation, "The land which we possessed is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." He makes the good confession of faith years and years earlier. God is with us. We can overcome the enemy. They are like food for us. He says, we'll chew them up and spit them out. Their protection is gone. God is with us. That confession grows and grows and grows in spite of having to go through the wilderness wandering, in spite of the difficulties the people of God would face. Caleb remained strong and continued to mature in his faith. Again, we sometimes look at the older members of our congregation and we say, what a glorious devotional life they have. What a glorious walk with the Lord. That doesn't start in retirement. But that begins when we are little children walking with the Lord. A lifetime of learning about God, knowing more about Him, walking with Him day after day after day. Sometimes those who are more mature in our congregation, they seem to know the whole Bible almost by heart. It doesn't happen by accident. But it happens by an ongoing daily intake of the Word. And that's a challenge for all of us, not just for those more mature in our congregation, but for those who are middle-aged, for those who are young couples, for those who are singles, for those who are college students, for those who are children. We start now to grow in our faith. We start now to daily take the Word of God and hide it in our hearts. We go through daily Bible reading, weekly Bible discussions, ongoing Bible memory work. Day after day after day. The maturity of faith, the glory of those who have walked with the Lord for many years, doesn't start when they're 85. It starts when they're 5 and younger. So the challenge for us. What are we doing to grow in our faith even now? Not waiting for the retirement years. Sometimes we look at the retirement and we say, boy, I don't imagine how those retired folks spend all their time. They must have all the time in the world. But their love for the Lord is simply blessed at that point. It began years and years and years earlier. Our prayer life. Those of us who know those more mature in the faith, they seem to have the most wonderful prayer life. They can spend a half an hour. They can spend an hour in prayer. Maybe those of us who are younger, we can't imagine what it would be like to have an hour to spend in prayer. Or even what we would say if we had the hour. You know, when we meet someone new for the first time, we usually don't have much to talk to them about. There's a little small talk, a little chit-chat. But as we grow in a relationship, we have more and more to say. As we learn someone and they become a friend for a few years and a friend throughout our lives, we have more and more to talk about. So too with our prayer life. Those who are more mature have the time to spend more time in prayer, and they have that relationship with God that has grown year after year after year, that they do have so much to talk about with our God. Are we starting that now? Are we starting now being committed to spending time with our God in prayer, to growing in that part of our faith life, talking to Him, pouring out our heart to Him? The more time we spend with Him, the more time we want to spend with Him. was a lifelong attitude that Caleb had. He began his conquest some 45 years earlier, and now, as an 85-year-old man, says, "Now I will come and take the inheritance." And that's the final thing that we see, is Caleb took obedient action. Caleb knew the promise. He knew what God had said. He went through the trial, went through the tragedy, went through the wilderness. But as they're preparing once again to enter the land, Caleb remembers, "Oh Lord God, You are faithful. And now I'm going to take up my task and claim the inheritance that You promised to me." He doesn't sit back and simply wait, but he actively pursues the blessing God has promised. He does that with all his heart. "I have followed the Lord wholeheartedly." Three times in this text, wholly following God. Verse 8. "But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, yet I wholly followed the Lord my God." Verse 9. "You will have this inheritance because you have wholly followed the Lord my God." And finally, verse 14. "Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel." He actively pursued the blessing. He actively pursued the inheritance promised to him by God. And yet he wholeheartedly, with heart and soul and mind and strength, continued even in old age. What an encouragement for us to continue to pursue the blessings that God promises. Oh, we have received the glorious promise of salvation, accomplished, assured to us by God Himself. But the blessings that flow from that, God calls us to pursue. The blessings of a closer walk with Him. The blessings of a deeper devotion in Him. The blessings of a stronger faith in Him. We actively, wholeheartedly, wholly follow the Lord our God. And we read that Joshua blessed Caleb. That was God's blessing upon Caleb. God blesses that obedient action. God blesses that pursuit after righteousness. God blesses the work that we begin, even with our feeble hands, as we call upon Him, trusting Him, knowing Him as the God who has completed all for our salvation. And yet gives us blessing upon blessing here below. Caleb received his inheritance. Caleb, a man of faith, a man who walked with God, a man who knew the blessings of obedience. He came as a young man. In spite of what he saw around him, in spite of the majority report, he came and spoke, "God being with us, let's go up right now and accomplish." Some of us are younger in the congregation. We still can have that assurance that God will go with us if we wholly rely and trust in Him. Is that your confession today? Not in our own strength, not in our own hands, not in what we can do, but God being with us. We trust we can pursue after righteousness. We can pursue a closer walk with Him. We can know Him more intimately because that is the blessing He has promised. For those of us who are older in the faith, continue to walk with the Lord, knowing that as God has walked with you for the past 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, He will continue in the future. Our God is faithful. Caleb did not lose the inheritance, but trusting in God, following after God, making the confession in God, Caleb received Hebron, that place promised to him so many years earlier, promised by God Himself. May God encourage us to continue to pursue after righteousness, to continue to follow after Him, knowing that He is faithful year after year after year.